6204-0630. Again, 6270-0630.
And until our next broadcast, remember, the devil has not forced to tell you that the power of God cannot break. Until our next broadcast, God bless you. From Bishop Kenny Townsend
and Minister Mildred Townsend.
Tell somebody, say, you shall get loaded.
Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest and God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this path, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this awesome opportunity, Father, once again to come into the homes and the automobiles of your people, my Father, that's listening to this radio broadcast, Father, and use me to share with them, Lord, your love, your grace, and your peace. To share with them, Father, the greatest story that has ever been told, Father, the greatest message that has ever been proclaimed, my Father. And it's the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of the kingdom of God. It's the gospel that Jesus preached. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus. Thank God for all the good news. But, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you have anointed us and ordained us, my Father, and called us, Father, to go into all the world and make disciples of all men, Lord, teaching them what Jesus taught us, Lord. And what Jesus taught his disciples, Father, was the gospel of the kingdom, my Father. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news about Jesus, all that he is, all that he did, Father, and all that Father, you sent him to be and do for us, Lord. We thank you for the good news about Jesus. But, Father, there's a message that's even greater than the gospel of Jesus, and that's the gospel that Jesus preached, my Father. So, Lord, I ask you this morning, my Father, that you would anoint our ears to hear, my Father, the greatest story that's ever been told, the greatest message that ever been preached, Father. And it is the message that Jesus Christ preached. And this is the message that he preached, Father. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And all through the Gospels, my Father, all he talked about, the subject matter, to everything that he talked about was pertaining to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, Father. And once again, I count it an honor and a privilege, my Father, that you would allow us in our ministry, Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministries, to come into the homes and automobiles of your people, my Father, and share with them, Father, this message, Father. It's an honor and it's a privilege. Once again, Father, anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church. Anoint these lips of clay, my Father, to minister to the needs of all of us under the sound of my voice. I humble myself right now, my Father, under the mighty hands and the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I say unto you, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this radio broadcast. You speak to our hearts, and you lead us, and you guide us, and you bring us in remembrance of everything that Jesus Christ has told us. And as always, we'll be careful to make sure that we give you, my Father, all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, 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 and amen. Hey, once again, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, it's an honor to come into your homes and your automobiles to this radio broadcast and share with y'all, again, the greatest story that has ever been told. It's the goodest, it's the gospel. It's a good news gospel. And this good news gospel that it's about is the good news gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if we're not careful, you heard me say this many times on our radio broadcast, you know, the devil's most successful tactic against us as believers is to preoccupy us with good things at the expense of forgetting great things. And what I mean by that is, you don't mind us having good church. You don't mind us having good service. You don't mind us putting on good programs, great seminars. You don't mind us preaching all the good news about who Jesus is and what Jesus did and how he died on the cross for our sins and how he opened blind eyes and unstopped deaf ears and cast out devils and raised folks from the dead. You don't mind us hearing about all them good news messages right there, but boy, he don't never want you to hear what Jesus preached. You don't mind us, man, like I say, boy, it's a good thing, all the thing that Jesus did, and those are needed messages. But boy, that's one message that's greater than man, what he did and who he is. And that's what he said. And not only what he said, but what he said pertaining to you and I, and what he said pertaining to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of hell. Listen to this. Here's what he said pertaining to you and I and the kingdom of God and the kingdom of hell. He said this. Change your mind. Change your way of thinking. Change your whole way of seeing things, your whole perceptive. Change all of that. Be prepared to change all of that. If you're willing to change all of that, then I'll bring you a new mindset. And what I'll do is, man, why I have to change my way of thinking and my way of mind? Because you've been born, conditioned, and trained to think according to this world that you was born in. Listen, do you know that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity when we were born into this physical world? And everything that we learned and everything that we've been trained and brought up with was things that was pertaining to this natural man that we are, the fallen man that we are. The Bible says it this way. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But God, boy, so loved the world. What world? The arrangement that he set up, that he sent his only begotten son. And he sent his only begotten son to do all those good things to redeem our life from destruction, to heal us of all our diseases, to write our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, to redeem us. But the redeeming work of God is a good work. But boy, that's a greater work, like I saw you did that. And that's, boy, what we've been redeemed, not only from, but what we've been redeemed to. Not only what we've been saved from, but what we've been saved to. And you know what the good news message, boy, that he came in talking about pertaining to you and I and the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? He said this again. Change your whole way of thinking. Why? Because all of the kingdom of heaven is available to you right now. Listen, let me say that slow because I need you to get this. Listen what Jesus, when he begun his public ministry, after he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness and put the devil on his feet, the Bible say, then he returned in the power of the Holy Ghost. And from that time forth, he began to preach and say, repent. Again, that word repent means to change your way of thinking. Why? Because all of the kingdom of heaven is at your hand. That means it's among you. That means it's within hand's reach. That means it's here. It's not all in the sweet by and by. This day is here. Another part in the Bible, and you know it very well, very familiar passage of scripture, where Isaiah said it this, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And of his kingdom there shall be knowing it. What he came and bought, he bought a government. He didn't bring a religion. He bought a governing system. And the governing system that he brought to this earth, let me say it even better. The governing system that he brought back to this earth was the governing system of God, the functioning principles of God, God's way of doing things. That's the kingdom of God. And if, boy, we would learn how to operate in God's way of doing things and do things God's way, then, boy, we can begin to experience all of the kingdom of heaven. Not some of it. We can begin to experience all of the kingdom of heaven in our lives here right now. But this is the message that he said. Repent, what? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Again, that word at hand means it's within your reach. It's within hand's reach. If you stick your arm out, you know, and you stretch your fingers out, you know, and from your body to where your stretched out fingers are, that's how close the kingdom of heaven is to you right now. Not in the sweet by and by, but in the right here and now. That's the good news message that Jesus preached. What did he preach again, Arthur? All of the kingdom of heaven is available to you right now. See, if we're not careful, man, religion will prepare us to live the best Christian life that we can live here on earth in hopes that when we die, where we go and live, we're gone forever and ever in heaven. Listen, that's not, man, what Jesus preached, and that's not what the Bible is all about. What Jesus preached was, instead of, you know, you going and spending eternity in heaven, you say, I come to bring heaven, watch this, back to you. What, Arthur? Back to you. Listen, did you know that God set up the first world upon the earth, the first arrangement, the first pattern of operation, the first system or way of doing things? He set up the first world upon this earth. It's in your Bible in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. You heard me say this many times, you know. And those two chapters right there are the only two perfect chapters in the Bible. You know, in those two chapters, man, there's no sin, there's no devil, There's no demons, man, or harassing, man, people and everything else. In those two chapters, it's just God and his family of sons, his family of offsprings that's in Adam, man, in Eve. And in those two chapters, boy, there's unbroken fellowship. God is walking and talking with them in the cool of the day, unbroken fellowship. No sin, no nothing. And what they're doing, boy, mankind or Adam is becoming who they already are. But God already decided before the foundation of the world. Isn't that what the Bible says? Thanks be unto God who chose us before the foundation of the world. That's in Ephesians chapter 1. What did he choose? He chose that we should be holy. Know what holiness is? Holiness means to be like God. He didn't say, you know, it ain't nothing that you've got to do to be holy. Here's what he said. He said, be holy. Why? For the Lord your God is holy. He chose that before the foundation of the world, that we would be just like him, created in his image and his likeness, with the ability to function like him, to act like him, to talk like him, to live like him, to be just like him. That's his original plan and original purpose and idea for every man, every woman, and every boy, and every girl that ever, man, came upon the face of the earth. This was his original idea, that we would be just like him in character and in nature, and that we would function just like him. And we would function mean that we would act like him, talk like him, live like him, be just like him. For what purpose, Arthur? So that we could carry out his will, his desire, his purpose, his original intent in our lives here on this earth, just like it is in heaven. This is his will. His will is for all that it would be in our lives here on earth. just like it is in heaven. It's not his will for us to spend eternity in heaven, you know, with him. His will is that he would spend eternity in heaven on earth with us. You know, the Bible says in those first two chapters, I tell you, is the perfect chapters in the Bible. In chapter 3, boy, you know, that arrangement, that pattern of operation, that world that God set up upon the earth that he intended for you and I to live in. Listen, this is how the Bible says it. And God said, let's make man in our image and our likeness, and let them, this is a very important part of the scripture that you need to understand, and let them have dominion, have power, control, and influence over what? Over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth, and over all the earth. So what did God do, man, in those two chapters? He created the heavens and the earth, and he created us and everything that's upon the earth, and then he came down to the earth after he created us in heaven. You know our citizenship is in heaven. We originated in heaven. Our Father, which art where? In heaven. And so when God wanted you and I, he spoke to himself. He said, let us. Where is he? He's in heaven. What he said, let us make man in our image and our life, and let them. Now watch this. He said, let us make them in our image and our likeness. Where is God? He's in heaven. Who he's speaking to? He's speaking to himself. Let us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And when he spoke to himself, from himself came a little g or a small g God, a little offspring of God. Do you know that that's what the word son mean in the Bible? Son means to offspring from, or the offspring of God. A little masterpiece, because you are a piece of the master. A little God. Not God, but a little offspring of God with the same characteristics, with the same character, with the same nature, with the same functioning principles as Almighty God. Can you imagine this? You're just like your Father. Can you imagine this? And everything that Jesus Christ was doing up on this earth, his manner of life, his way of life, the way he lived, the thing that he did. Do you know that, boy, he didn't come to do that to say, hey, look at me, and I'm bad to the bone, and I'm way more high than you, and I'm way up here, and you way down there, and you got to worship me. No, all those things that he was doing up on the earth, what he was doing, ruling and reigning over every circumstance, every situation, every symptom that confronted his life. What was he doing, boy? Casting out devils and healing all manner of sickness and disease. What was he doing? Other going around about preaching the gospel of the kingdom, man, and doing good and destroying all the works of the devil. And then you know what he turned around and said? You know what he turned around and preached to the disciples and to the multitudes? He said, hey, listen, as I am, so are you. You know what he came to this earth to show us? He came to this earth and his lifestyle and the thing that he was doing up on the earth. You know what he was doing? He was showing you and I how we're supposed to live. What we can do, how we are. Listen to what he said. He said this, as I am, so are you. The works that I do, so can you. Just like the Father sent me, so I'm going to send you. The Bible says, for this reason was the Son of God manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. What was he manifested for? To destroy the works of the devil. What's the work of the devil? The work of the devil is to separate you from your source, to separate you from our Father in heaven. Listen, whenever a thing comes from, it has to stay attached to that thing in order for it to survive. Listen, when God wanted the the animals, he said, let the earth bring forth every living creature. When he wanted the plants and the trees, he said, let the earth bring forth the trees and the plants, you know. So when he wanted something, he spoke what he wanted. And he spoke what he wanted to what he wanted made from. And what he wanted came from what he wanted made from, exactly what he said. Let me say it in a plainer way. When he wanted the animals, he spoke to the earth. When he wanted the trees and the grass, he spoke to the earth. He said, let the earth bring forth every living creature. Let the earth bring forth trees and fruit, seeds and with fruits in it that produce after his own kind. When he wanted the stars and the moon, boy, he spoke to the firmaments, man, and the gas. When he wanted, boy, the fish, he spoke to the water. You know, fish is just water, dirt, you know. spoke to, came from what he spoke to, exactly what he said. And boy, but when he wanted you and I, he spoke to himself. And just like the trees came from the earth when he spoke to the earth, and just like, boy, the fish came from the water when he spoke to the watery dirt, and just like the star came from the firmness and the gases when he spoke to the firmness and everything, same way, boy, when he spoke to himself, came a little G, a small G, God, just like him. Same characteristics, same character. You know, if I take a pitcher of water and I take a glass and I take, man, that pitcher of water and I pour into that pitcher of water, into that little bitty small glass, the water that's come from the pitcher. Do you know that the same ingredients that's in that pitcher is the same ingredients that's in that small glass that I poured the water into from the pitcher? The same ingredients. Just like it. The same thing. That's what God did, boy. He spoke from himself to himself. And from himself came you and I. Now, where is he? He's in heaven. Now, if God would have wanted us to spend eternity in heaven, then there wouldn't have been no need for him to come down to the earth and form a body for you and I to live in. He would just left us in heaven. But that was not his original intent and his original desire and his original purpose for you and I. Again, his original intent and desire and purpose for you and I is that, boy, through us, he would be able to make earth a colony of heaven. Say that again, Arthur. Let me say it in a better way. That through us, he wants to extend his governing influence of heaven to a foreign territory called the earth that he created for you and I. The Bible says the heaven belonged to God, but the earth he gave to you and I. For what purpose? So that we could have dominion. That's power, control, and influence. That's sovereignty, raw power. That's peace and righteousness and joy. So that we could have what? Dominion. Over what? Over all the earth and everything that he made from the earth. That's what for what purpose, Arthur? So that it might be in the territory that he created for you and I, the earth, just like it is in his territory. God's original idea and original intent that going through his family's sons, that he would colonize earth with heaven, that he would make earth a colony of heaven. You know what a colony is the same thing that's going on in the kingdom. And whenever you colonize a place, you know, then the same thing that's going on in that place that's colonized, you want it to be the same way that like it is in the kingdom. Well, God, what do you mean colonize? He wants to make it on earth just like it is in heaven. Listen, we've been praying those prayers all our lives and perhaps have not really understood what we've really been saying. What? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our what? Our Father. What? Our source. Our sustainer. That's what the word Father means, you know. The source and sustainer. He's not only the source of our lives, but he's the sustainer of our life. He's not a deadbeat dad. He not only made children, but he take care of his children. Do you know that our Father in heaven is responsible for everything that concerns our lives as his children? Everything that concerns our lives. He's our source, and he's our sustainer. That's Father. He's responsible for us. Listen, if I lost a $100 bill, you know, it's not the $100 bill responsibility to come looking for me. It's my responsibility to go looking for my $100 bill. It's the same thing with our Father in heaven, you know. In Genesis chapter 3, he lost us. It wasn't our responsibility to go looking for him, even though we could or we would try to, but it's more or less his responsibility to come and find us. Listen, it wasn't Adam and Adam and Eve them willfully disobeyed God. It wasn't Adam and Eve them looking for God and searching for God. In fact, it was just the opposite. They were hiding from God. It was God who came looking for Adam and Eve. It was God who said, "Where art thou?" You know, it was God who came and found them. And listen, when he found them, he found them in disobedience. But you know what? He didn't leave them like that. Because, again, he's not only the source of our life, but he's responsible for our life. Say that again, Arthur. He's responsible for our life. Our Father, our source, our sustainer, which art where? In heaven. Where is he? He's in heaven. And God never intended for to come down to the earth. He want to rule the earth through his family of sons called mankind, you and I, from heaven to earth. How you would do that, Arthur? By the power of his Holy Spirit. This is how he did it. This is what he did. He created us in his image. He spoke to himself. And from himself came you and I. And then there we are, a little bitty spiritual being, just like God. Same character, same nature as God. Same ingredients that's in the pitcher of water, the same ingredients that's in that glass of water. Because the water in the glass came from the water that's in the pitcher. So the same ingredients, once again, that's in that pitcher is the same ingredients that's in the glass. The same character, same nature that's on the inside of you and I is the same character, the same nature, the same functioning ability that Almighty God has. And he spoke there, and he spoke to himself, and from himself came you and I. And the Bible says, then he came down to the earth and formed a body for you and I to live in. Listen, your body is not us. The body is the house that God formed for us to live in. Remember, boy, listen. In order for something to maintain, it had to stay attached to where it come from. So where did our body come from? It come from the earth. What purpose? So that, boy, we could maintain man and stay hooked up to the earth. What purpose, Arthur? So that we could have dominion and authority and power and control and influence over what? Over the earth. Over what in the earth? Over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creeps upon the earth. Over all the earth. He said, the heavens belong to God. Again, the earth is yours. What's our responsibility? What's our assignment? What's our mandate here on the earth? To colonize earth. To make it on earth just like it is in heaven. What did he say? Our Father, which art in heaven. Then the next thing he said, give him his crop. Give him his praise. Hallowed be thy name. You know what that is? That's giving God all the glory and the honor and the praise for the great thing that he's done, even the thing that you're not even aware of, even the thing that you don't even have a clue of, that you don't even know about. Boy, it ain't entered into our eyes, nor has it entered into our ears or our eyes, nor have we seen or heard all the good things that God has in store for you and I. I say it again, our eyes have not seen and our ears have not heard, nor has it entered into our hearts all the things that God, boy, has in store for you and I. Imagine this, boy. Eternal life. Everlasting life. In heaven. On earth. And I'm not talking about in the sweet by and by when we die. I'm talking about starting right now. Start, man. When did it start? When you receive, boy, the gospel that Jesus preached. What gospel did he preach? That heaven is available to you right now. Did you know that the kingdom of heaven is your inheritance? That belongs to you? Isn't that what the Bible says? Thanks be unto God who chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame. Unreprovable in his sight. And then he said this here in another place in the Bible, in Matthew, come you who are blessed of your Father and get your inheritance. What? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundations of the world. Do you know heaven is your inheritance? That we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. I say it again. It's our inheritance that belongs to us, and it belongs to us now. Listen, a will is not in full effect, until a testator dies. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came, the testator of the will. Came to this earth, hung, bled, and died. And when he hung, bled, and died, boy, I'm talking about the righteous demands of a just God was met. The penalty for sin was paid in full. And the will went into complete effect. What will? All of the kingdom of heaven. What inheritance? All of the kingdom of heaven. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Listen, Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago. Remember, a will is not in effect until a testator dies. He died 2,000 years ago. Man, that means that the will has been in effect for over 2,000 years. What's the will of God? That it be in our life here on earth, just like it is in heaven. What's the will of God? Hallowed be thy name. That Then it said this, thy kingdom come. Why? Because when thy kingdom come, what's your kingdom? Your way of doing things. The Bible says in Proverbs, many are the plans in the man's heart, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will prevail. He said, listen, when your purpose come back, your original intent, your original reason for the creation of mankind in the earth, when that first world that you set up on this earth, when that come back to the earth, then your will can be done well on earth, just like it is in heaven. Say that again, Arthur. It is God's desire and will that it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. It's not his will and desire that we come to heaven and spend eternity in heaven with him. It's his desire, if you read in the book of Revelation, at the end of the book, it says this, behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, and the dwelling place of God was with the sons of man. What he saw? He saw, boy, the holy city, the city of peace, no more sin, no more devils, because see, right before that, the Bible say the devil, the false prophet, the Antichrist, all those who he persuaded to go with him, boy, was cast into the lake of fire. No more evil, no more sin, no more demons, no more devil, no more good and evil. Nothing but good, nothing but peace, nothing but joy. That's why I call it, boy, Jerusalem. Shalom is peace. Jerusalem is city. What is Jerusalem? The city of peace. That's the city that David built. You know, David, out of all the kings that Israel had, the greatest one that they ever had was David. Why is that? You know, because David routed all the enemies. All the enemies of Israel, boy, listen, every battle that David fought, he won. He won every last one until there was no more enemies, boy, to defeat, man. And now, boy, the children of Israel and the kingdom, man, of David, boy, was on earth, man, in peace, man. No more enemies to fight. He every battle that he fought, he won. Till there was no more enemies, man, to rout. There was no more enemies to overcome, man. And that's when he settled down then and decided, man, on now, man, building, boy, the city of peace. Jerusalem, what that is, that city. Shalom, what that is, peace. Why? Because there was no more enemies, no more evil, no more demons, no more devils, no more enemies to rout, boy. And all they did was live, boy, for the rest of David's life in peace. That's why he was the greatest enemy, the greatest king that Israel ever had. And it's the same way, you know. Hey, listen, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, the new city of peace. No more evil, no more demons, no more devils, no more dying, no more crying. None of all that we're going through in this lifetime. No more. What? Coming down from heaven to the earth. And the Bible say, and they shall reign on the earth forever. And the dwelling place of God was with the sons of man. You know what that's saying? It says it ended up just like it started off. How it started off? God created us in his image and his likeness. Where is he? He's in heaven. Then he came down, brought us down from heaven to earth. And he formed a body from earth for you and I to live in. And he placed us in that body and gave us a mandate and said he'll have dominion and authority and power and control over everything on this earth, man, over all your circumstances, situations, and symptoms. Start us on our course toward what? To making it on earth just like it is in heaven. Listen, that's God's original intent and God's original idea for our life. That's the big picture. You know, when you buy a puzzle and you buy a 500-piece puzzle, you know, and you open up the box and you see, man, 500 pieces, you know, of a puzzle that's in the box. And if you just open up the box and somebody gives you the box and all you see is the 500 pieces, then you really won't know what that puzzle is. But you know what? They do something, man, before they even show you the pieces. You go buy a puzzle, and on the top of the box, you see a picture of the puzzle. You see what the puzzle is supposed to look like, what the puzzle is, what it was designed to be. Even before you open up the box, you see the big picture. You see, man, what it looks like once it's all put together. Do you know that that puzzle, before it was cut into those 500 pieces, was one picture, and they put it on a machine, and they cut it into all those 500 pieces. But before they cut it into those 500 pieces, it was just one picture on a poster or whatever that puzzle might be. And you know what it does, boy? He show us the on when you buy a puzzle, they show you the end even before you start. On the top of the box, they show you a picture of the puzzle, what it looked like once it's all put together. Well, that's what God did in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. He showed us the big picture. He showed us what the puzzle looked like once it's all put together. And once it's all put together, then, boy, it's going to be on earth just like it is in heaven. Watch this. Forever and ever and ever and ever. That's why I said earlier, you know, there's only two perfect chapters in the Bible. That's Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Because in those two chapters, God set up that arrangement. God set up that system. God set up that pattern of operation. God set up that way of doing things. God set up that world upon the earth. And in that world, and then in that arrangement, in that place, is where God placed us. Do you know that? Do you remember when the Bible say, and God formed man's body from the dust of the ground and breathed into man's body the breath of life, and man became a living soul? And boy, I'm talking about what? Now, boy, man, who is man? Spirit being, just like God. What God did, formed the body from the ground, from the earth. Why? So that he could place us, who, little offsprings of God, small g gods, in that physical body. For what purpose? So that we could dominate this physical earth. For what purpose, Arthur? So that God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, could colonize earth with heaven. So that God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, working through us, mankind, his children, his offspring, could make it in our territory just like it is in his territory. Listen, that's always been his desire. That's always been his will. That was his original intent. That was his original plan and purpose and destiny for our life. Listen to this. Sometimes his plans change, but his purpose is eternal. His purpose never changed. His purpose still the same. It's still his desire that it be in our lives here on earth as it is in heaven. Well, you know God set that up in those two chapters. You know what happened in Genesis chapter 3. Mankind fell from that dominion and that authority that God gave them, and gave that dominion and authority that God gave them over the earth over to the hands of a wicked angel who went by. And therefore, boy, forfeited the dominion and the mandate that God gave them, the authority that God gave us, excuse me, and Adam, gave it over to the hands of a wicked angel who went bad. And instead of it being here on earth as it is in heaven, it's on earth as it is here now. Because in Genesis chapter 3, a new world was set up on the earth. And this is the world of darkness. This is the world of evil. This is the kingdom of darkness. This is the kingdom of Satan. This is not God's way of doing things, but Satan's way of doing things. What's Satan's way of doing things? He just got one motive out of him. He come but for to steal, kill, and destroy. He don't have a one desire, boy, and that's to have to cause the same thing that happened to him to happen to you and I. You know what happened to him? He was in the Mount of God. He was in Eden in heaven. He was in what that simply means is he was in the literal presence of the Most High God, around the throne of God, 24/7. If I could say it this way, he was the praise and worship leader of heaven. He was the most anointed angel out of all of the angels. Let me say it in a simple way. He was the most powerful angel out of all the angels. He was the most anointed one out of all of the angels, boy. He was wonderful and fearfully made. He was the light bearer. And boy, from him, man, came adoration and perfect praise from God until he got beside himself and wanted to exalt his throne above the throne of God. You know what happened. The Bible say war broke out in heaven. And boy, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning coming out of heaven. Boy, the war started and it lasted, boy, a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And just that fast, boy, Satan was kicked out of heaven. Can you imagine, boy, Satan want to raise up a war against Almighty God? And that ain't no match at all. Man, God wouldn't even fight the devil. He sent the other angels. He said, hey, Michael, hey, Gabriel, handle that for me. And the Bible say, boy, I'm talking about they cast him out of here. And guess where he landed at? He landed on the earth, armed to the teeth. The Bible say in Revelation chapter 12, he's waiting for that woman to bring forth that seed. Why? So he could cause to happen to mankind the same thing that happened to him. What happened to him? He got separated, man, from his source. He got separated from God. He got kicked out of the mount of God. He got kicked out of the Eden in heaven. He got kicked out of the presence of God. And boy, he landed on the earth. And the Bible said when he landed on the earth became void and without shape, chaos, out of order. But boy, God already had a plan and a purpose and a destiny for the earth. So God came down and started a reconstruction project. And God began to reconstruct the earth, and the earth was born and without shape, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and God began to speak. And when God began to speak, boy, I told you, he began to speak what he wanted. And he began to speak what he wanted to what he wanted it made from. And what he wanted came from what he wanted it made from, exactly what he said. Boy, what are you doing? A reconstruction project. Why? Because, boy, his original intent was for that is to be in our lives here on earth as it is in heaven. But now the earth is all chaotic, all out of course, and darkness and ignorance is on the face of the deep. And God began to reconstruct everything. And then you know the story. And then God, boy, brought us down to the earth. And then the devil came in Genesis chapter 3 and deceived Eve and caused them to willfully disobey the known will of God. And boy, I'm talking about when they disobeyed God's command, then they fell. They didn't fall from heaven. They fell from the dominion and the authority and the power and the control and the influence that God gave them or gave us over the earth. They fell from that. Not from heaven. They fell from dominion. The dominion that God gave us. The authority and the power, control and influence over our territory. And gave that dominion over into the hands of the devil. And like I said earlier, instead of it being on earth like it is in heaven, it's on earth like it is here now. But here's a very familiar passage of scripture. I laid that foundation so I could say this. The Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, tempted on all points just like man, yet without sin. What purpose are there? To redeem our lives from that destruction. D-E-E-M means to own. Redeem means to own again. At first, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we were God's offspring. We belonged to God. In Genesis chapter 3, God lost us. And everything that God was doing from Genesis chapter 3 all the way to the end of Malachi in the Old Testament is a means to one end. And that's to purchase us back, to redeem our life. What that word redeem mean? To own again. Deem mean to own. Redeem mean to own again. So from Genesis chapter 3, God started a redemption progress, a process. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth, boy, his son. That's Jesus. Made in the likeness of sinful man, yet without sin. What purpose? To redeem our life from that destruction that boy Satan man deceived us into, and Adam and Eve into. What he came to do? Redeem our life from that destruction. What destruction? The fall of mankind. To redeem our life from the law of sin and death. To redeem our life from the destruction, the chaos, and the darkness that you and I were born and conditioned and trained to live life in according to. He came to to redeem our lives. And he had to pay a price in order to redeem our life. The precious blood of the Lamb. What the Bible say? Behold, the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. But what purpose are there? So that our life might be redeemed from the destruction that Adam sold us into. So from Genesis chapter 3 all the way through the end of Malachi is a means to one end. What is a means to what end? To purchase us back and to set us back on course toward God's original plan and God's original purpose and destiny for our life. And once again, his original plan and purpose and destiny in our lives that we be in his image and his likeness. Listen, he's a king. What he created us to be. He created us to be kings too. That's why the Bible says he's the king of kings. That's why I was telling you earlier, you know, hey, listen, he is God. He's the offspring of God. He's the only begotten son of the Most High God. He's just like God. He's the express image of God. And he came down to this earth, boy, to once again reveal to us who we really are. Like I told you, boy, this is what he preached. He didn't preach, man, you know, hey, repent and start living holy and try to live right and everything else. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to quit doing this. You know, like, no, he said, listen, he came and redeemed our life. He said, listen, be ye holy. Why? Because the Lord your God is holy. In other words, be who God originally created you to be. Be, man, and have what God originally intended for you to have. Be, have, and do what God originally intended for you to do. What was that? To have dominion over this planet called Earth. And to rule and reign over this planet called Earth. And to make it in this planet called Earth just like it is in his territory. But what purpose was this? Or it might be in our territory, the Earth, just like it is in his territory. So his will might be done on Earth, in Earth, Earth, that's in us, and on Earth, just like it is in heaven. Listen, that's his original intent. Like I said earlier, many are the plans in our hearts and the man's heart, but it's the purpose of the Lord that's going to prevail. He's going to have what he said. And everything that he was doing from Genesis chapter 3 through the end of Malachi was a means to that end. And the Bible says, hallelujah, in the fullness of time, when the setting was right, when everything was in order, when everything was in its proper place, when the language that was that could be conveyed, man, would be a language that they could understand that was similar to God's original intent and plan and purpose for mankind life from the beginning. When the Roman Empire was in authority over the earth. And when the Roman Empire was in authority of the earth, they had a system that they set up. Do you know Rome was the greatest empire that ever ruled the earth? During the Roman Empire, man, they was the greatest empire of all. They were not like the other empires, the Greek Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire. No, you know, they were the greatest empire of all. Because the way they functioned and the way they operated and the way they ran their empire was similar to God's functioning principles, to God's way of doing things, to what God desired was. Listen, all the other empires, when they would take over territory, they would burn the cities and the kingdoms and the other kingdoms, and they would uproot the citizens and bring them back to their territory and make them slaves and did it like that, but not the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was similar to what God's desire, original desire, intent was. When Rome would take over territory, they wouldn't uproot the people out of the territory. They would lead the people in the territory and send a Roman citizen, a Roman governor, to that territory and establish in that territory that they take over Roman government, Roman rule, Roman dominion, Roman authority in that territory. So in that territory would be and have what's going on in that territory that they took over, the same thing that's going on in Rome. And guess what? And Caesar never left Rome. Know what he did? When he would take over territory, he would send a governor. That's what Pilate was. Pilate was a governor, was one who sat at the foot of Caesar, that got Caesar's dictates, Caesar's mind, Caesar's will, what Caesar wanted for. And the mind of Caesar. And then when Rome would take over territory, then Caesar would send that governor along with other citizens, man, from Rome, the Roman soldiers, the Roman citizens. And what would the governor and those Roman soldiers and those Roman citizens do in that territory that the emperor of Rome or Caesar would send them to? They would set up Roman law, Roman government, Roman influence in that territory. For what purpose? So they might be in that territory that they take over just like it is in written intent and desire was for the earth. That when he set mankind up on the earth, boy, he said what? He sent a governor with us to this earth. Who is the governor? The Holy Spirit, boy. And he said, and what else he sent? And he sent citizens from heaven. Who was a citizen from heaven? That's us, his children. I told you that's where we originated from. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, it says our citizenship is in heaven. You originated in heaven. That's where you were created at in heaven, because that's where our Father is in heaven. And you come from heaven. Like I said earlier, if God would have wanted you to spend eternity in heaven, man, where he is in his territory, then he'd have left you there. But if he'd have left you there, then you never could have been like him. The only thing you could have been up there is a prince or a princess. But he created us in his image and his likeness. And he's a king. He's a ruling authority. And he has a territory over which his ruling authority has governing influence over that territory. And God created us in his image in this life. What? And placed up on this earth in a spot on this earth. So that was that we could be fruitful and multiply and make the whole earth just like that Garden of Eden. So in the fullness of time, man, after God lost his original intent and desire upon the earth, the Bible says in the fullness of time, he sent forth his son when the Roman Empire was in operation on the earth. Because again, they had a system that was similar to God's system or God's way of doing things or God's kingdom. They would take over territory. Rome ruled the whole known world at that time, you know, when they was running on the earth. Why? Because they took over territory. And when they took over territory, I say it again, they didn't uproot the citizens from the territory or kill them. They left them there, and they would set up Roman rule and Roman government and Roman authority in that territory. And the way Caesar would do it was through his called out ones, through his ecclesia, through his church, starting first and foremost, boy, with the governor. Same thing, boy, with the Holy Spirit. He's the governor. Same thing with the citizen that God, that Caesar would do in Rome. He would send the governor, that was Pilate, and some of the other, like Felix and all the other ones, that was over territory. That was the rule over the territory. And he would send citizens from Rome, along with the soldiers from Rome, and they would set up Roman authority, Roman rule, Roman government in that territory. So that when it would be in that territory, just like it is in Rome. And when that system was set up on the earth, that's when Jesus Christ came, so that the message that he would relate to the people, they could understand what he wanted. So in that time, boy, God sends forth his son. The Bible say, boy, God so loved the world. What world? What do you mean? He so loved the original arrangement, the original pattern of operation, the original system that he set up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that he lost in Genesis chapter 3. He loved that world, that original system that he set up so much that he sent his only begotten son for to, watch this, to re-establish that world back up on the earth. What he sent his son for? To re-establish that world back up on the earth. Listen to what the Bible says. Very familiar passage of scripture. God so loved the world. What world? The original arrangement that he set up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, when it was on earth like it is in heaven. And that little spot on the earth that God planted called the Garden of Eden, a little carbon copy of heaven, a little spot on the earth for a moment with an open door into a delightful place, worthy delightful place, the literal presence of the Lord. What the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, that God walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. They were in his presence. In the literal presence of the Most High God. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? That's why the Bible says in Revelation, boy, the dwelling place of God was with the sons of man. Not only did we come down from heaven. Listen, I didn't say we're not going to heaven. I say we're not going to spend eternity in heaven. That's not where your eternal destination is. Your eternal destination is going to be on earth. Even if God got to create a new earth. And the Bible says that, boy. And God created a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, the city of peace, of people who live in peace. Why? Because the Antichrist, the false prophet, the dragon, and all his demon co-hosts was cast into the lake of fire. no more crime, no more dying, no more sickness, no more disease, no more poverty, no more racism, no more hatred, nothing but love and kingdom life, kingdom living, you know, hallelujah, upon the earth, boy, and it's on the earth just like it is in heaven. Listen, if it take God a trillion years, he's going to have what he say. He don't live in time. A trillion years with God is just like a moment. Because he's from eternity, from everlasting to everlasting. Everybody say the suffering of this present time that you and I might go through in this life that we live here on this earth, but however long we might be here on this earth, ain't worthy to be compared with all the glory that God has in store for us. Again, that's why the Bible say your eyes ain't seen and our ears have not heard, nor has it entered into our hearts all the things that God has in store for you and I, boy. Listen, and that's for all eternity, for everlasting to everlasting. Even though it's not that way on the earth today and night, it don't mean that it ain't going to be that way. Everything that's going on now is a means to that end. But that it be on earth just like it is in heaven. Listen, God said that. God spoke that. And when he said that and spoke that, I'll tell you something about our Father in heaven. He's going to have what he says. If he spoke it, it's going to come to pass. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, it's coming to pass. If it take a trillion years, he don't live in time. He live in eternity. You and I live in time. But boy, that's going to come a day, boy, when, let me tell you something, boy, time going to be folded up, and you and I, man, going to go from time into eternity. And we're going to live forever and ever and ever in heaven on earth, just like God originally intended for it to be. And that's what Jesus Christ come preaching to the multitudes. Boy, I come to